welcome one and all once again to Nerds on the Rocks episode 115. This week we're going to the realm of music, but a very special realm. But before we get there, let's introduce our musicians. We have Wessie.
I did not have time to come up with a catchphrase, so...
You complain when I put you after somebody.
Well, I either don't have enough time to come up with something clever, or I don't... So, I don't let come up with something clever. I can't catch anything.
We have Ashley.
We have Sex Bomb, and we are here to talk about bands and maybe sad and stuff.
I like
and we
that.
And we have Nicholas.
I'm a chameleon. Yeah. Oh, I'm at the beat. And the beat goes on. Yeah. And the beat goes on. And Videoscope. Yeah. I'm looking at you right now. Sugar sweets. And so is honey. Macho madness is on a roll. And it can't be stopped. No. Elizabeth knows what I'm talking about. Yeah. Unbelievable. Time distortion. Space is the place. Mean Gene Oakland. Go down that lonesome highway. Yeah. But don't be hypnotized. No. Reincarnation doesn't have to be. You can concentrate. You can do mental telepathy. Yeah. But the beat goes on. But the beat goes on.
Nick is having his yearly macho man breakdown.
Oh my.
But come now, Earl. We are both not factional.
Oh boy.
Is that Bane? Or is that Jar Jar Binks?
Nothing means nothing.
It's Bane.
It's like Bane. It's like it's Bane. I don't know.
Nothing means nothing. I'm talking about all the way to the top. Yeah. Probably in a position that I'd rather not be in. The cream will rise to the top. Oh yeah.
The cream.
But
yes, we're not doing a Macho Man podcast. We're actually doing a or a Bane podcast. We're doing a podcast on fictional music groups.
If Nicholas had his way, we'd be all doing this as Macho Man voice.
I couldn't keep that up for a whole hour and a half.
I think my voice could deal with you. And I can only do Macho Man for so long before it starts becoming Hulk Hogan, and then eventually the Ultimate Warrior, and then it just becomes incomprehensible.
I'm not going to lie. I would pay good money to have a band fronted by Bane.
That
Ooh,
would be...
baby, I love your work.
Bane sings your favorite love ballads on well, What the Fuck Is Wrong With Us.
What is that thing that you do?
Oh, God. Nicholas, new way to make money. Bane, come on. Make that happen.
And then I will go back in time to save you.
You know what's funny? Now I think of a good catchphrase. Now, like, later, I just think of something now. But you know what? Yeah, the moment's over. I can't think of it now. Like, it's like,
that's
I go back to the instructions.
That's going to be the bonus edition of the How I Became Invisible album. It's just all remixed with Bane vocals.
I'd buy it.
You will stand by through everything, Storm.
It reminds me of William Shatner sings the WWE theme songs.
Yes, William Shatner's sexy boy is a thing of beauty. I'm
oh,
not
man.
Your boy toy. Just a sexy boy.
Oh, man. He should really perform Heath Slater's theme song.
Let me see. Like, I'm the one man band. By the hand. I'm the one man band. I cannot keep that up for too long. William Shatner voice has a way of inflecting into my entire like talking style for hours on end, and I just talk like William Shatner for like.
I have the
screaming.
Man. I'm the one. Man.
Go for it, Steven.
I am the one man. Man, the one. One. Thank you.
I want everyone to be aware that I just lit my letter and waved it in the air. That is
well
flashed, I am.
As well you should.
As well.
But yes, there is also a point to this podcast as at
what
some
point. We can try to see how we do William Shatner does whatever, and then we could do like Bane doing whatever.
William Shatner as Bane doing a Macho Man promo. Credit money.
God. Next gimmick. Hey, Vince, buddy, if you're listening to this, this is your next gimmick, man. William Shatner, Bane, Macho Man. Merge it together.
Tune in next time on Nerds in the Rocks and watch me lose my mind as I actually attempt to do that.
We'll hold you to that one, actually.
We will.
I want to see how long that would actually keep up for.
I would say it's the feedback.
I'm guessing I should keep this tab of Macho Man promos transcriptions open, is what you're saying.
I'm assuming you're going to keep them open anyhow.
I mean, there's other promos here. There's like the CM Punk one. There's some other ones here, too. But yeah.
Yeah. This podcast, though, is actually about fictional bands. And, well, William Shatner is a real person. I don't know if Bane is. But he's
bullshit!
Kind of... No follow-up?
No, just bullshit.
I missed what we're calling bullshit.
Oh, William Shatner being a real person.
Oh, he's totally a fictional character.
He's like Dave Navarro.
I mean, there actually is a real person named William Shatner, but he doesn't exist any longer. He has been subsumed into the William Shatner personality. It's hideous acting talent.
Yes.
William Shatner, though, has managed to salvage many a show with his acting talent.
Yes, but it's not a William Shatner appreciation day.
Boy, we should all give thanks to the great Lord and Savior William Shatner.
Bullshit.
Yeah.
To be honest, every episode and everything in pop culture and everything in the world is kind of a tribute to the great William Shatner in some form or fashion.
It is. Thank you, William Shatner, for giving us all that we have been blessed with this day, sir.
Thank you for allowing us to live.
And for saving us time and
time. Yeah, salvage this now, Earl. Go ahead. Try to steer this back on topic. There you go.
There's no steering. We haven't even, like, if this is a train car, we're on a train right now. It's, like, not even the same mode of transportation anymore. But getting back to square one, we are trying to talk about fictional bands. And this is about partially because we had a poll. We had a poll this week with a bunch of animated fictional bands. And this came from a very, very dark YouTube session where I spent way too many time looking at cartoon theme songs. Ultimately, the poll ended up with Death Doc winning 25% of the votes because Nickias was pimping him out for whatever reason.
As well. And
yeah, so we figured we'd expand on it. We include fictional, animated, and live action bands. You know, there's a ton of them. And as always, we have our trusty Wikipedia page open, which means we'll probably be just look at this just and gawk at what they include and what they forgot.
Yeah, I'm going to get this out of the way right now. Like I said, I'm not going to go into any rant about what bands do or don't belong on this list because it would take way too long. Because there are some stupid goddamn bands on this thing that aren't even bands. They're just people. They're just people.
There's way too many to actually even go through that list with any type of structure. Not that this thing ever has any. But I guess we should start with the ones on our poll and at least discuss those. And I guess Nick can kick us off with Death Doc from
Metalocalypse. Metalocalypse. Death Clock. You know who they are. Pickles the drummer, doodly doo, ding dong, doodly 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 doo. William Murderface. Nathan Explosion, and the rest. I just recited half the theme song. I did it in wrong order, too. I left out Toki and Squiscar. But they're the guitar players. They don't care about them. Anyway, Deathclock is the world's greatest metal band. In fact, in the world of Metalocalypse, they are the world's greatest band. Because everything's so hard for him. You kind of have to. Otherwise, he might get a big head and try to be the lead guitar player again. And you know how that turned out. It turned out poorly. In any event, they are, in the world of Metalocalypse, Deathclock is not only the biggest band in the world, they are the biggest thing in the world. They are the, what, the third largest economy on the planet?
I believe so, yeah.
The entire fate of the world's financial systems rests upon how successful they are doing.
Wow.
And in some, it's implied through most of the, you know, ongoing, really, really, really slowly ongoing uber plot of the series that they will be behind either the salvation or destruction of the world. There are also a bunch
of... I really need to watch more of this show.
Yeah. They're also a metal band who every concert just kills, like, loads and loads of their fans. Inadvertently. They don't kill them on purpose. It just happens. And they are possibly the dumbest people in the world.
Yeah. I haven't seen this. I saw, I think, part of season 2 4 years ago or something like that. I enjoyed it, but I'm not into the whole... I think it was a bit too hardcore for me.
Season 2 was a little over the top, and I say this as someone who, you know, likes the show. But I felt like season 3 was when it hit its stride. And, Toki's
what...
cat song.
Oh my god, Toki's song. Anytime Toki's cat song is great. Anytime Toki sings is great.
the
like the one where what's the one where his dad dies and he goes walks through the woods and goes, why is everything so hard
for Toki? Yeah. Yes. But yeah, season 3 was where it sort of hit the point where it's like they found the right balance between the ridiculousness of the slow-moving plot, the ridiculousness of the characters who are in this situation, and not overdoing the horrible deaths of fans.
Mm-hmm.
So, that was a plus.
The thing is, I can't watch it regularly because I don't really stay up late to watch Adult Swim anymore because I have to wake up early and I've thus become boring. But I've watched I watched first 3 seasons because I have them on DVD like over and over and over again. So they all just kind of blend together. I don't know what season it is, but there's a season where they Deathclock buys an island and makes it the Deathclock home.
Yes!
For wayward kitties.
Wayward kitties.
It's Deathclock home for wayward kitties. And they just open, he goes, release the kitties. And like this box just flies open, crushing a bunch of people, and these like feral, like insanely violent cats just jump out and attack everyone, and it's amazing.
Oh god.
Well, the one where they end up in charge of the state of Florida. There's a hurricane coming. Well, destroy the hurricane. That's not what we do here. We just name it. Okay, well, name it Scrambles. Scrambles the death deal.
Yeah. No, the best thing, and this is actually appropriate since it's my birthday as we record this, and I'm now officially old, is when William Murderface has a birthday, so they throw him this giant party, and at the very end, they do like, we got you the darkest, most blackest, most metal present of all, and this box just falls open and it's empty. Nothing!
I've seen that episode.
I have seen that episode, actually.
So here you go. You got your favorite thing.
Right?
Disappointment. Yes, it was.
I do cocaine.
Yep.
My name's Dr. Russo, the rock and roll clown. I do cocaine.
Oh god, the episode where he comes back and he like crawls into bed with Murderface. I think it is. He's like, I'm too cocaine.
I'm too cocaine.
My name's Dr. Roxo, and
I used to do cocaine. I'm sorry, Toki.
Sorry, this is, see, now we've just gone from one ridiculous thing to just quoting the show now.
Yes!
We've gone from William Shatner to quoting
Listen, now, you could actually do that because Metalocalypse, the voice cast on that show is amazing. They have, like,
yeah,
Mark Hamill.
I
Werner Herzog. Werner Herzog does voices on that show. The German director who's actually literally crazy. The guy who pulled a
really?
Gun. Yeah, he pulled a gun on the star of one of his movies because he refused to act in a scene.
I didn't know that one.
He did an acting camp, too, recently, where it was like a weekend and you just go and he teaches you how to act. And one of the things you were supposed to do was you had to avoid being shot because, as he puts it, if you cannot be a real actor if you do not know real fear.
Why would anyone go to this camp?
Because he's a Werner Herzog and the dude is crazy.
Well, there's crazy and then there's to be a good actor, let's shoot at you.
Well, you remember, he's the guy who made the movie about Fitzcarraldo, which was, you know, it's about attempting to pull a boat over a mountain in order to get to the other side of the continent. And instead of, you know, maybe shooting miniatures or doing some special effects, built a giant boat and had people literally pull it over a mountain.
Oh, my. Wow. Wow.
Werner Herzog is awesome, but I will book no argument to the opposite. Anyway, let's move on. Let's talk about some other bands.
Okay.
This is not me going about how awesome Werner Herzog is.
So yeah, moving down the list, the act that came in second is Powerline, which is the musical group from a Goofy movie.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. Really? Really?
Roy.
Oh.
Really?
Really?
Roy.
My cutter.
I
have so much to say about this, obviously.
Honestly, I had not... The Goofy movie, I knew, like, nothing about until, like, just, like, a couple years ago, practically, when people suddenly, out of nowhere, suddenly became, like, this big thing. Everyone started talking about a Goofy movie. Like, I've never seen this film. Like, how have you not seen it? Never had an interest in a Goofy movie. I really wasn't in the Goof troop to begin with. And
that's the strange thing is...
The movie has, like, nothing to do with the series.
Yeah. It has the characters. It has the setting. It completely kind of ignores the show. I've never got that, but it does what it needs to do. Like, his second best friend in there is not... Like, almost everybody in that movie who aren't, like, the main characters don't exist in the TV show.
No.
Yeah,
they never show up afterwards.
Paul Shore did not exist in the TV show.
I mean, we can be grateful for that. I mean, it was bad enough we had to deal with, what is Iago's name?
Oh, Gilbert Godfrey.
Yes.
So, if you ever want to hear something amazing, look up Gilbert Godfrey reads 50 Shades of Grey.
Oh, gosh. I've heard a bit of this. I haven't heard the full thing, but I've heard a bit of it. It's pretty glorious.
Yes.
But yes, Powerline. And the only reason they made it is because it's a presence throughout most of the movie. Like when I was making the list for the site, I was trying to limit it to stuff that was kind of prevalent throughout a series, or you know, not some, because a lot of shows tend to have like these one-off bands for like a gag. And The Simpsons have had like three or four bands or quartets or whatever, and like all of those were disqualified because they were like a one-thing wonder or whatever. Powerline is on this list, and I think it's the only one from a movie that made this list, because it's like Powerline, I think there's like three or four original songs from this band in the film. Well, what were you going to say, Nicholas? I think you said you had a lot to say about this.
That was sarcasm. I have nothing to say about this.
Okay.
The only thing that's really remarkable to me about Powerline is, like, what there is this, I saw this video off of Bleeding Cool of them running into, as they called it, the best Booster Gold cosplayer ever, who made a skeet for his costume that actually plays different songs, and one of the songs was from was called Standout from a Goofy movie, and he also has Standout and You're the Best as the theme songs on his Skeets robot.
Nice.
And it is. I'm like, yeah, you win, man. Who's gonna top that? It's like, and of course, he's like, and what doesn't fit Booster Gold than this song? And it was Standout. And as they put it on Bleeding Cool, we can't play this song on here because of copyright reasons. We can't play this song on here because of copyright reasons. But if you really want to hear the song here, we link the video.
Oh, I've done that.
Nice. The next band on this list, and I honestly don't have any idea who they are. Somebody suggested it to me when I was putting it together. Are Beck, and apparently it's an anime. And
yes, I've never watched it. I'm sorry.
See, I was confused by that. I saw Beck on the list. I was like, no, Beck's a real person. I've seen him.
Okay, so it wasn't just me.
No.
Yeah, it was.
I thought it was a reference to like Beck when he was on Futurama, and they had like him and Bender, and he was just ahead doing. You know what I mean?
Check the Bectionary.
Yeah,
exactly. Rhyming Bectionary.
No, it's an actual anime, and there's a show, and it's a manga. I just can't pronounce anything tonight. But yeah, it's an actual show. Somebody sent me the link and stuff. I put it up there because I couldn't argue against it. It fit the criteria.
Listen, I'm not going to talk crap upon anime in general, but to show my interest and how much I care about this, I'm going to tell you all now that I'm holding the microphone like Damien Sandow.
Okay.
If it doesn't have giant robots fighting amongst existential ennui, I don't care about it. Basically, if it's not Evangelion, why am I watching it? That's probably unfair, but, you know, suck it.
No, that reminds me, we're close to getting a Pacific Rim trilogy, so...
Oh, hell yeah.
Oh, I cannot wait to watch that movie. Oh, my God. So, cannot wait to see that movie.
But let me not derail the podcast anymore.
No, listen, I'm going to start singing from songs from Les Miserables. Is that okay?
Sure.
There's a castle on a cloud. I'd like to go there if I sleep. Aren't any thoughts for me to sweep? Not in my castle on a cloud. Thank you.
I did not think it was possible for me to hate that song more.
You're welcome.
Ow!
You're welcome.
Damn! Damn, asshole.
You did see the video Tom sent to me for my birthday, right?
No.
It was David Wayne and Paul Rudd doing the confrontation from Les Miserables. And it is fantastic.
What?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. Hold on. I'm going to find it and post the link in the thingy with the stuff. And it's great.
While he's doing that, the next band on our list is The Beats from Duck.
Oh, God.
Which, of course, from our...
Duck.
Ooh, yes.
Wee oo, killer tofu.
I was about to say it's probably...
Wee oo, killer tofu.
I eat my sugar cereal, but it makes my teeth bacterial. And don't you eat too much fried food. Yes, we can marvel at how pathetic it is that I still know the lyrics to that song.
I'm not going to speak ill of Doug, because I think it was a fun show, but I think I hit that, I was at just the right age for it not to be a big deal to me.
I remember
being on, and I remember like thinking, oh, this is all right, but it was never like a thing, as much it seemed to be for some people I know who are just a couple years younger.
Okay, I was about to say, because, I mean, for me, I was around that age. Nicktoons were big when I was just around that. age. But it's like Doug isn't like, oh my gosh, Doug is amazing. It's kind of like, oh, you remember Doug? Yeah, it was a good show. I don't think anybody's ever going to say Doug was anything special.
I'm going to be honest. I think if they brought Doug back, there would be the same amount of fervor as there seems to be over Boy Meets World. That's the same type of thing. We're like, yeah, when it's not on, people are like, ah, yeah, I remember what, that's all right. But as soon as they talk, we'll bring it back. Oh my god, this is the greatest thing ever!
Yeah!
Well, I mean,
by the fucking power animals!
I have to say, in my defense, I still watch Boy Meets World. That's a good or bad thing is up for debate.
I'm not saying it's bad. It's just, I think there's, like, this weird, like, nostalgia gap.
I mean, I think we are hitting that age where, you know, like I was saying, like the whole reason this poll came about and this podcast came about was because I was checking out like Pokemon, the cartoon is turning 18, I think, this year.
Wow.
And Power Rangers turns 20 next year, and the whole reason I was doing that was because those are two franchises that evolve, like the theme song changes every season. And I was listening to their theme songs. It's about 20 minutes or so, because each one's about a minute. And it was just kind of like piggybacking off of that and going to these various things. So I think it's, you know, we're at that age where a lot of things are, you don't realize how far back none of these things are.
You guys know what this means, right?
What?
Pokemon's totally going to be legal.
Oh.
I feel Boy. Like Mudkips. Mudkips are legal.
I've been on Tumblr way too long. I know there's probably some images that of Pokemon for some really messed up people out there.
Yeah, 34.
Yeah, but I understand Rule 34. It still shocks me when I'm looking for something completely, you know, safe, and you still end up finding people with the most insane imagination.
I've discussed my problems with Tumblr on here already.
Yeah.
No, we don't need to get into it. As much as I love that site, I hate fandom.
Oh, my.
I do, too. I think fandoms are awful. Like, I understand being a fan. I love being a fan. There's a clear line between that and what's really out there and these people.
Tumblr.
There's a very clear line between I enjoyed the show and I wonder how many of these people are going to fuck each other. Let's try to make that happen.
I swear, one time I was like going on my Tumblr dashboard going,
oh my god.
And I went, oh sweet lord, what the fuck did you just post? Ah, god. No, they should not
okay,
be screwing
porn.
Mario, why would you do that? I don't understand.
Live.
Luigi's done nothing to you.
No. Oh, no. Oh,
was that?
Oh, that's, I don't know what else I expected. Oh, it's a pay site, too.
What is it? What are you looking
at? Porn Live.
Yep, not looking at it.
What?
Go with that.
Oh, my God.
No.
That's an actual site.
No.
Not doing it.
I don't know what Pokemon that is because it's not one of the originals, but I do know those are anal beads coming out of its ass.
I hate myself and subject my brain and my body to some terrible things just to see what will happen. That is not a line I'm willing to cross.
Is that Ash fucking a female Pikachu? That is totally Ash fucking Pikachu.
And I'm the person who's voluntarily eaten KFC food all the time. And I'm not subjecting myself to that.
I don't remember if you have tits.
We're moving on.
So move on. For the love of God, move on.
The next fan we have is Timmy and the Lords of the Underworld.
Hey, come on.
Timmy.
I had that single when they put that out, like years ago. They put out a single of Lords of the Underworld, whatever the song was. I forget what they actually called it, but it was Timmy and the Lords of the Underworld.
I think that's the name of the song as well.
Probably. I don't know.
But yeah, it's that and
tonight.
The only reason. The only reason this made this is because I think it's a one-off gag on South Park. It's just one
it
episode.
Is.
is that it actually does continue beyond that episode. Like Nick said, they released a single, and it's also, you can also pick up the song on Rock Band.
Mm-hmm.
The song and the band existed beyond that one episode, and that was the only reason they made the cut. So yeah, Timmy and the Odds of the Underworld. Next up is Mystic Spiral.
Yes.
Woo-hoo! Go ahead. Geek out.
Yeah. Freaking love Mystic Spiral.
Go ahead.
Mystic Spiral. And it is the thing that I don't know how many other people can understand unless you were a girl of around my age who identified strongly with Daria Morgan. And Trent was that guy you kind of knew, because they even do an episode where Daria tries to imagine her and Trent in the future, and it's horribly depressing.
That was a really good episode.
Yeah, and she beats her crush on him for a while, and then by the end of the episode, she's crushing on him again. But Trent was that extremely cool, unavailable guy who never treated you like you were just his sister's good friend. Like, you were someone he independently thought was pretty awesome. And that is sort of the model that Mystery Chicks grew up with of the guy. So Mystic Spiral's special place in my heart, and I think for a lot of the other people I know who are around my age, grew up on Daria, and are still, like, have that as their when you ask about, like, the one animated character they would bang, it's Trent. Because Trent was, he was very symbolic to our developing teenage minds. And he was in a band. He's a cool guy in a band.
Wow.
See, I can actually understand it, because I had a crush on Jane.
Ditto.
But she wasn't in a band.
I had such a crush on Jane Lane.
I liked Daria a lot too. Jane, she motored my boat.
I had a thing for Jane too, so I can't say anything.
What does that mean in this context?
I don't know. I'll let you figure it out.
Screw it. At least you're not on Tumblr.
I don't have to explain myself to you. I let the audience decide.
Okay.
Audience decide. Audience?
It's magic. We don't have to explain it.
Moving on.
Did it.
I think we can kind of jump group in a bunch of these people because they aren't really. We have Chip Skyar, which is from Fairly Odd Parents. We have Josie and the Pussycats, which is actually that's where the idea came from, because Nick did Josie and the Pussycats for his A to Z Cinema last week.
Yep.
Oh.
And
that's actually a pretty good movie.
They were at the height of a really weird movement in the 60s and 70s where you made cartoons with teenagers in bands. It was them. It was Jabberjaw and the Neptunes. It was
Archie.
The Archies.
Became a band.
the Scooby-Doo people created, like, were in a band at one point, weren't they?
Yeah, but I couldn't remember. I know they were in a band. I couldn't remember the name of it.
Mystery Incorporated. I don't know. I'm just guessing.
I can't remember if they really did anything with the Scooby-Doo gang in a band or not.
They were playing songs at some point. Like,
yeah, they did. I don't think they ever gave them a band name.
In fact, I want to say it was
Daphne always
was
played
a
tambourine.
Because Daphne was the sort of a person who would play the tambourine.
Yeah, she'd always have the tambourine.
But yeah, it was like this whole movement, and that's kind of where it came from. And I used to watch all these shows. I mean, at some point, they sent Josie and the Pussycats into space.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I wasn't really sure.
It's very interesting. In the early days of Cartoon Network, when it was basically nothing but Hanna-Barbera cartoons, every single one of these cartoons was pressed within a block. It was literally just this entire, like, freaking two-hour block of that. And you would... like, you would know every single one of those, like, Hanna-Barbera-created bands at one point or another.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense.
I know it's written Pussycat. What? I don't know if that was animated in the Hanna-Barbera studios or not. God help me, I think I need to look that up now.
It probably was, but yeah. The one that really got me, though, was Jabba Jaw, because it's a band that's fronted by a shark.
A shark which talked like Curly Howard.
And played the drums.
That was glorious.
So it's kind of like the forerunner for Phil Collins, basically.
Oh, damn it, now I have Easy Lover stuck in my head. Oh, man.
Is it sung by Jabberjaw?
No, but it's Phil Collins, and I have an 80s library stuck in my head, so if you mention the right 80s artist, it'll get stuck in my head. And now I have, she's an easy lover.
yeah.
Oh, wait, I wonder if I could do I wish I had seen Jabberjaw recently, because I'd love to see China doing a cover of Jabberjaw doing the Easy Lover song now. For some odd reason, that would just be fascinating to behold. Though there is a great thing of Jabberjaw they did in the like late 90s when they did those Cartoon Network animated shorts at that point. Those were awesome.
Oh yeah, like, that one was the Lunchbox, and it was like the sub band version of the Neptunes.
Yeah, that was amazing. That was like the greatest thing. I would say, like, all those are golden. I mean, they're just all about as perfect as you can give it, just these nice, pitch spot-on animated shorts. I mean, there's, like, the Jabberjaw one, and there was a few bits. There
Josie
was a few
and the
that
Pussycats
were just...
one.
Yes, that was awesome. That was another
Josie
really
and the Pussycats musical history one was so cool, because you got that brief period where they were animated as a punk band, and it was done so well.
Yeah, oh my god! Oh, man. Now I need to go... You know what I'm doing after this podcast now? I'm going to be, like, going on YouTube looking up all these freaking...
Yeah, and that's where it starts.
Yes. I apologize to my Twitter timeline.
And do you think this is a healthy way to spend your life, Mr. Wayne?
That is what spirals down into you just watching all of the videos of Aquaman bumping and grinding. They used to run on Adult Swim. Like, there's... Yeah. One where Aquaman just walks into the produce aisle of the supermarket and starts dancing.
We mentioned Jabberjaw. Did anybody check out the Archies? I know none of us are old enough to actually be around when they hit it big.
No, I mean, the only reason why when I was a kid, there was a local oldie station. And when I used to go to drive my mice driving with my mom to elementary school, they used to have the element on that station. So it was like, I knew Sugar Sugar by the back of my hand, because by golly, that song played every morning. So pretty much to this day, I still have Sugar Sugar stuck in my head somewhere. Like, it's like my brain is a mix of oldies and 80s.
Are 80s
and that playlist going on in your head on a daily basis, and just, it gets interesting in my brain sometimes.
Okay, what else do we have on this list? I was just saying nobody voted for them, but the junkyard band from Fat Albert.
Oh god!
Yeah,
gonna have a good time.
You guys have seen the SNL bit where they did Behind the Music?
Yes, that was really good. That's actually very good.
Was it Mushmouth got his hands on some bad junk?
There's the weirdest thing called, of course, involving Fat Albert is, and I was one of the poor souls that actually sat through that Fat Albert movie, so there's an excuse. That's the weirdest movie.
Oh, Jet Screamer. That's okay. I didn't look up Jet Screamer,
awesome.
But it's the Jetsons.
Yes,
and they did Rockin' with Judy Jetson.
Eek, ak, o, ah.
E-I-O-A-E-I-O-A-E-I-O-A-E-I-O-A-E-I-O-A-E-I-O-A-E-I-O-A-E-I-O-A-E-I-O-A-E-I-O-A-E-I-O-A-E-I-O-A-E-I-O-A-E-I-O-A-E-I-O-A-E-I-O-A-E-I-O-A-E-I-O-A-E-I-O-A-E-I-O-A-E-I-O-A-E-I-O-A-E-I-O-A-E-I-O-A-E-I-O-A-E-I-O-A-E-I-O-A-E-I-O-A-E-I-O-A-E-I-O-A-E-I-O-A-E-I-O-A-E-I-O-A-E-I-O-A-E-I-O-A-E-I-O-A-E-I-O-A-E-I-O-A-E-I-O-A-E-I-O-A-E-I-O-A-E-I-O-A-E-I-O-A-E-I-O-A-E-I-O-A-E-I-O-A-E-I-O-A-E-I And of course, I always remember that very well because they had Dare to Be Stupid playing on the background that entire after that sequence. And I will never forget that. That, and I've seen Transformers the movie a lot at one point in time in my life.
And the final three entries on the list are One Sonic Underground, which I didn't know was actually the name of the band.
What band is it again?
Sonic Underground from Sonic Underground.
I think I saw maybe one episode of that series because it never played anywhere around here. Like when it was in syndication initially, so
it's on Netflix, but I wouldn't. I've only seen like one or two episodes, but for some reason, when I play Sonic the Hedgehog video games, it has never dawned on me to make it into a musical group about him and his traveling siblings. I don't know why.
Well, it didn't dawn on many people to watch it, considering that barely anyone carried it in syndication, and it.
Well, I think the other problem with that is that at the time there were three Sonic cartoons. It's not. I mean, you had, I think almost every network had a Sonic cartoon at some point because...
Well, Sonic Underground, I think, actually aired, like, not, like a little bit later after the whole Sonic, it aired, like, 99, so... It aired in 99, and it aired, like, after, like, Sonic the Hedgehog and the ABC Sonic the Hedgehog ended.
Is it safe to say that that's... came after the original Sonic Boom.
I was just about to say, it's an amazing coincidence that there was three Sonic cartoons and I did not give a single fuck about it.
I think people would have actually given more of a anything of a care about it if they would have made a Sonic Spinball animated series. Of Sonic talking by a giant pinball machine.
That would have been special, but, you know, again, 90s cartoons. Especially 90s cartoons.
It was actually kind of fun in a weird way. I got it for Christmas one year. I had fun with it.
Uh-huh.
I was watching
it. So, yeah. And then we have Jem.
Oh, Jem. She was truly, truly, truly outrageous.
Jem was excitement. I don't remember the rest of the words to this theme song. But yes, Jem.
I probably know a lot of them, but I'm not gonna sing again.
Jem is a product of the 80s, the big bright hair,
she is a product of the 80s.
Oh
yeah. I swear all you'd have to do is show someone a picture of Jem and then they go, "That came out in the 80s, didn't it?"
Well, it's actually really funny. My senior year of high school, we threw an 80s dance, and my friends and I went dressed up as Jem and the Holograms.
Ooh, nice. Really?
Yes.
That would be an
Are
awesome
there any holiday pictures costume. that prove the existence of this?
I think a friend actually posted them on her blog a few years ago.
They're also on the MySpace.
I don't know if they were on the MySpace.
I don't know why I was looking for links to my MySpace because I was applying to a job today that asked me for a link to my MySpace. Like, I still know what that is. But yeah, and finally, the band I think that has had the most longevity on this, even if that meant three really questionable movies recently, is Alvin and the Chipmunks.
Oh, God. You know...
Are we talking about the animated one or the live-action one?
Well, we're talking about Alvin and
We're talking about the band in general. We can ignore the animated movie, the animated existence of the movies if needed.
But yes, they do transcend a lot of things. They've been in several cartoons. They've been in movies. They've done Christmas special, Halloween specials. You name it, they've had it. They've covered a lot of popular songs in the 80s. Even I think it's the sound you get when you speed up for your tape.
It is. It's funny. It's why they can't put Alan Chipmunk's out on DVD in any major way, because it's like all the licensed music. It's like
yeah.
Well, how many? Yeah. Does every episode of the NBC series have a licensed song? Yep.
I think that's the same problem with the Muppets.
Yeah. It's like, how much licensing did they go through there? Star Wars, you name it. They put it in there. Actually, the funny part is they probably put out Muppets babies now, considering that now that Disney owns Star Wars, they could probably manage to make it work. Because they own a lot of stuff they use clips for.
Yep.
Well, perhaps.
That is
true. It does
suck. That's probably why Disney bought Star Wars.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, we've put up Muppet Babies. Let's release Muppet Babies now. You need to buy everything. Go for it. We don't want Star Wars 7. We want Muppet Babies on DVD. Damn it.
I wouldn't be opposed to that, actually.
Really? I wouldn't either.
I mean, it depends on what we hear about Star Wars Episode 7, but give me the Muppet Babies. So, yeah.
Yeah, well, I heard the Muppet Babies reboot is going to be directed by Matthew Vaughn.
I heard Joss Whedon.
I would actually love to see a Joss Whedon directed Muppet Baby.
No, Joss Whedon's going to be too busy. Whedon's too busy doing the Fraggle Rock reboot.
Oh God, that would be awesome too. I'd watch the hell.
Spoiler alert: Mokey dies.
Oh.
But yeah.
Well, at least it won't be as bad as UA Ball's Tiny Toon Adventures.
That's just mean.
I don't even know why Jason Statham was in that.
He was the weirdest Buster Bunny you could have cast.
Yeah, it's so strange. And I don't know why Leone ended up as Montana Max. That was just beyond me. But you know, he's German. He's a genius. Because they keep giving him money to make movies. He has to be. I've never actually seen anything other than that movie. But I'm assuming.
I've seen clips of a lot of his films, but I've not been able to sit through an entire movie of Uwe Boll.
Please do not threaten to box me, Dr. Uwe Boll. I'm slight of stature.
I'll box you.
No, you should just all fight him. You should say it like that. All fight him. And then that's something really racist. You're welcome.
Yeah, I think that's it for this on this site. We can start bringing in others and more.
Hey, Earl, you know, you actually could have put on Limousine if you really wanted to. From Homestar Runner.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, they're real now.
They act, and it's, and you know, it's, and they did Trogdor, which was that god almighty internet meme that actually had a song Guitar Hero. I remember when that song hit.
What about Brain Freak?
I don't know if Nick is effing or dying.
Which band is this again, Ashley?
Frank Creek. Decompose the pumpkin. Throw out that pumpkin. Because his mom did. Now give us the candy on Halloween. The pumpkin used to look like something, but now it's something. We're gonna shove it in your mailbox.
What? Oh my. Oh wow.
I regret nothing.
You shouldn't regret anything. In life, you should have no regrets, only happy memories.
Where the fuck life are you living?
One that involves sugar, sugar, and honey, honey. Because I am not seeing her.
Get that optimism shit out of my podcast.
But I'm high on life.
You're full of bitter, bitter spite.
I was high on life once. And a lot of speed.
Mostly PCP.
That zero does get you far.
Oh, PCP.
I have a bunch of bands we could talk about.
Yes. But let's get the one you wanted to talk about out of the way first, so we can actually talk about it before we go off rails again.
Go for it.
Which is Spinal Tap.
Yeah, that was Spinal Tap. The great band that's transcended genre and been around for decades, '60s. Mm-hmm. And they started as they were called the Originals. But they had to change their name because there was another band called The Originals in the East End. So they called themselves The New Originals. But then The New Originals, the original Originals, became The Regulars. So The New Originals were going to change their name back to The Originals, but they thought, what's the point? So they changed their name to Spinal Tap. And, so that's the thing. They had a string of hits throughout the 60s and 70s. Till their most recent hit was... in the early 90s, called Break In Like the Wind.
They're great. Go to 11.
Mm-hmm. Well, why not just go to 10? Because it goes to 11.
Why? It's one louder then, isn't it?
It goes a little louder.
We fucked the whole quota. Let's just give up now.
We really totally threw that quota.
It's like, look, right across the board, 11, 11, 11, 11. It's like, it's just when you have that one little bit, you're at the edge, you're like, 10 is the edge, and you just go screaming over the edge. He's like, well, why don't you just make 10 louder and make that the louder one? These go to 11. Okay, there you go. I've watched that movie so many goddamn times. I love that movie. Both as a fan of comedy and as a fan of music and as a musician myself. You talk to musicians who've been like on tour and they're like, no, this movie is real. Like, it's like, I remember reading about it. Like, some musicians like actually called them and be like, how did you get this story? And they're like, no, we made it up. No, this happened.
Oh, yeah. Because I love those the interviews they talk about that film, because that's kind of like the unofficial, like, kind of like the document. I remember the first time I watched this film, and I was just going, this is freaking brilliant. I mean, like, not really, like, I knew the general impact, but I was like, wow, because it was, like, it had like, also this very, the cast is what really also, like, Michael McKean's just dead freaking on. It's like every one of that cast is like so just spot on that entire movie. Also it's like most of that cast has gone on to do all the Christopher Guest movies. It's like yep.
Well, he is
most of the people in Spinal Tap, they all met there, and they all ended up making, and Christopher Guest ended up making them all for the documentaries.
Oh, some of them, a lot of them knew each other already.
Okay, I don't know a lot of the I only know so much of the behind the scenes stuff, so.
Yeah, no, they were all friends or like coworkers relations already, but that was kind of where Christopher Guest, he didn't direct it, but that's where he kind of took a lot of his style from.
Yeah,
from Rob Reiner's direction on that.
Rob Reiner was like, that was like, wait, that during that period.
Yeah, remember when Rob Reiner was a director? People actually cared.
Remember
about?
Rob Reiner was an awesome director.
There's that, Stand By Me, The Princess Bride, and then nothing. I'm leaving out some things, I know, because I don't care about them.
You like, aren't even them out.
Yeah, like his most popular movie that I just don't give a shit about.
But yeah.
Someone else can name it, I don't give a fuck.
We can move on. But, wow, what was I going to say?
What basically is When Harry Met Sally is bullshit.
Oh, I'd have to say it.
Everybody seeing Kurt Angle and Was it Christy Hemme who did that?
Yep.
That's the only version I need.
So they did it again recently, did they? I forget how they...
It was... Oh, it was Brian and Kane, right?
Yeah.
Yes. God. Yeah. That was fairly amazing.
Yeah. I don't think that was one of the weakest skits in that whole program so far, but... I mean, when you pitch so much gold, something has to come up as crud once in a while. So yeah, I think that's it for Spinal Tap.
Basically, watch the movie. It is genius. If you don't watch the movie, I want nothing to do with you. We have nothing to say, sir. I said
good day.
If you've never
I said good day, sir.
Tap. I've seen Spinal Tap. I was about to say, if you haven't seen Spinal Tap, go see it. At least, it's one of the movies that everyone should see it as part of like their movie, like movie anything. Like if you're just a fan of good film, go watch Spinal Tap at least once, and then you'll want to watch it again right after you get done the first time watching it.
Okay, so what's next on our list of fictional bands?
Mouse Rat.
Mouse
cannot be the only Mouse Rat fan here.
Mouse Rat? Mouse Rat, did you say?
Mouse Rat.
Explain Mouse Rat.
They had that great song about falling into a hole. It's Parks and Recreation.
Yeah, I know. I wanted to hear you explain Mouse Rat. I was serious.
I want to hear you shut the fuck up.
Oh god damn.
I said god damn.
This is violent. This is a violent episode.
Have you met me?
You?
I've podcasted with you long enough. I have a pretty good idea. Yeah. Yeah, you can see it. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yep. Violent shit going on here.
I got all my aggression out when I wrote that Total Recall review earlier in the week, so I'm good.
Which one?
The Total Recall review.
No, I meant the original or the remake.
What do you think?
I don't know.
Which one's going to make me angry, do you think?
I've heard good things about the remake.
You heard wrong. Sorry,
I'm thinking of Judge Dredd.
Yeah, that was a good one. Judge Dredd was actually good. Total Recall remake was terrible. I wrote a review on the Stabcast, wherein I spent 700 plus words just ripping the shit out of it. I could have gone 2,000 words.
Oh, God.
Like, easily.
Would all of those 2,000 words have been this movie is shit over and over and over again?
No, I would have explained exactly what was wrong with it and why this thing was ripped off where and where the original source was and why it's terrible that they ripped it off in this fashion. Instead, I just gave it the broad stroke saying, this is terrible, it's ripping off from these things, and this is why you shouldn't watch it because it's a piece of shit. This might be me reacting against the whole remake thing, too. But regardless, it's a piece of shit movie. Fuck it.
Okay, just real quick, and because I heard this discussion earlier this week, and I'm kind of curious. Do you prefer a remake or a reboot?
Oh, it depends on the property, doesn't it?
It does.
It can work. It can work, but it depends on how you treat it and how they do it. And really, what is the difference? Reboot implies it's a single thing, right?
Well, to me, a reboot means that you... Because, I mean, again, it depends on the source, I guess, but I think a reboot implies that you're kind of cut off from... You don't need to play by any of the rules, or remakes tend to be like, you have to kind of stick to this format.
I don't think it's this or that. The way I look at it is, a remake is a singular thing. You have a movie and you remake it. A reboot is a franchise or a series of movies that you're restarting and going and like erasing all previous continuity. Like you could remake Princess Bride. Not that I'm suggesting that. That should never be remade. That should never even be done again. That movie is perfect.
No, somebody's gonna remake it. So.
Oh, fuck them. Long as William Friedkin is alive, he will not allow that. You could remake a single movie. You could reboot, let's say, for shits and giggles, Harry Potter. You could reboot and do the whole series again.
Would that not be a remake of it? Since it's
no.
one, I mean, it's a source material.
Yeah, it's just, but you draw different things, you can rejigger it. Like, they basically took the two movies, the first two movies were just cop, you know, exact remake of exact book adaptations. Change shit.
Yeah, you could make a Prisoner of Azkaban movie that is actually based on the Prisoner of Azkaban.
Listen, we're not getting into this argument again. I had this argument with Vanessa. We don't need to get into it with you.
Because you know you'll lose.
No, I will not.
Uh-oh.
I will bring cinema theory into it, damn it. But in any... Moving on. You could reboot Batman, which they're obviously going to do. They rebooted Spider-Man already. If they did a remake of Batman, they would be just taking Christopher Nolan's Batman and doing the same plot.
Yeah, yep. Which is what people thought The Dark Knight was.
Mm-hmm.
Batman would be played by a hamster.
Bat-ham? Bat-ham.
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 Oh, no, not a hamster.
Bat-hog?
Bat-hedgy.
Bat-hog.
Bat-hedgy.
Bat-hedgy.
Bat-hedge. Begins.
Tiny little cowl and his angry hedgy voice.
Oh my god, what if he's played by an ocelot?
I don't know what that would sound like.
What if he's played by an ocelot? Bat-boo. Look at his tufted little ear.
What about Bat Otter? We can have Batman, like the otter as Batman. The level of, oh, look at the otter!
Oh, look, you provided me a good segue.
Yes, excellent.
Because I want to talk about another fictional band, River Potter Nightmare Band.
I create a segue.
Yeah, they won the Frog Hollow Battle of the Bands over many other things, such as Emmett Otter's Jug Band and Emmett Otter's mom singing her heart out. But they were both missing something, that crucial little it. Turns out what they were missing was each other. But I love that the idea that the River Bottom Nightmare Band, they're dicks, like in the show. They're straight assholes. They're hooligans, they vandalize things, they generally cause a ruckus. But they're a good band. They didn't win by cheating. They actually won legitimately. Which is why that entire show is just like, here's your lesson, kids. No matter how hard you try, someone's going to be better than you.
Well, speaking of singing competitions, do we want to touch on Key?
No, that doesn't count because they're not a band. They're a computer simulation.
Of what?
Of human beings. Human beings' voices do not sound like that in real life. I don't care how much you justify it. No, sir. I do stop believing. I have stopped believing. You're not from South Detroit. No one's from South Detroit. There is no South Detroit.
Oh gosh!
I mean, this is going back to animation real quickly. I just wanna, since we haven't had our Batman reference for this, I just wanna.
All the Bane voice doesn't count.
That's true. That's true. I just wanted to bring up just because it's one of my favorite episodes of a TV series. I want to bring up the music maestro.
Yes.
The
music
maestro.
For Batman the Brave, well, actually, no, Patrick Harris in general, Dr. Horrible singing on Jog, and the Music Meister and all those other things. So, yes, awesome. I'm actually surprised at how many musical numbers there are actually in Batman the Brave and the Bold. I believe there's something like 10 of them.
There's a lot of those in there.
Which you would not expect from a Batman show.
No, but they make it work.
You know, Brave and the Bold, that's the only thing I appreciate about Brave and the Bold. It's just what the people that worked on that show threw into that series. And practically every bit of it was fairly glorious.
Well, and then there's the bit that I don't know if they've been able to air it in America yet, but the episode that Gail Simone wrote with the Birds of Prey, and they do the musical number that I don't know that they have aired it yet because they had to edit so much of it out.
I don't know if they ever aired it in the U.S. or not, because I remember having a discussion with somebody. I was like, no, I know we had never aired it here in the U.S. Like the one episode I've never aired in the States because because of most of the stuff they have to edit out. It's like the musical number itself. It's one of those. Can we air that in the States?
Well,
I don't think we can.
That's what the problem with that is.
For those of you who haven't seen it, the Birds of Prey, in order to jog Batman's memory, because he is stuck in his Matthew Malone persona, they sing a song about how all of the members of the Justice League are lousy lay, except for Batman. But the whole point of this song is, if Batman were here, we would fuck him, because all of the other guys we know are really bad in bed. And there's a bit where they say something. There's something where they say, one of the line is something about Green Arrow's.
Oh, that's when he's shooting straight.
Yeah, that is when he's shooting straight. And then Black Canary actually gets, like, in the middle of the song, she's like, hey, what? Hey!
Yeah, there's a lot of. What is it? It's Plastic Man can expand but becomes putty in our hands.
Oh,
Aquaman is outrageous, but his little fish is not as courageous or something.
What is something up? No, Aquaman's truly courageous. His little fish, less outrageous. And they said that was one of the shots they would have to completely edit out. Because I think it's Huntress standing there with her pinky in the air, like, pointing around.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like, very clearly, like, we're talking about his dick. Okay?
That entire sequence is just like a censorship nightmare of,
So wait, was there a line where it was like, Superman's got an enormous weenus? Of course, you know, we mean a penis.
No.
I don't think
is that a problem?
Superman, but they do, when they get to the last verse, and they're like coming off stage, and they're standing around trying to like make Batman remember he's Batman. There's a line about, they say Batman's really brave. I'd like to see his secret cave.
That is butt. I don't like that at all. But there was a whole crusade about that in the 50s. So no, thank you.
I don't think it's that type of secret cave.
No, I mean, and the way you know that they didn't go all the way with the innuendo wasn't the line, I'd like to see his secret cave instead of, I'd show him my secret cave.
Yeah, that would have been much.
Oh, man, it's like, subtle!
That would have been less subtle.
So subtle!
Yeah. It's a great musical number. There's a ton of fantastic ones. I think Joker has one about killing people as well, but murder's fine in this country.
Murder, totally okay. Especially when you know, bad.
Well, then you look back on, and I know we talked about it during our Batman the Animated Series episode, Harlequinade, when Harley sings that whole song about, like, you know, he beats me, he tries to poison me, he threw acid in my face, that's fine. But Aquaman has a tiny penis, not okay.
So to say, that song used to mess me up as a kid, and it was really freaky when I found out it was an actual song. Because it seems like it's perfect for the relationship, but it's an actual song from like the 30s, which is really depressing.
Wow.
But yeah, it's a wonder the type of innuendos those people have gotten away with on network TV, but I guess they had to do it.
Animaniacs alone has like a zillion of them, practically. The most infamous one being the Prince
was Animaniacs.
Yeah, that's why I said Animaniacs alone has
a
zillion, like, sexual innuendos that they just had to go. Like, yeah, the only main reason, how'd they get away with that, Steven Spielberg? That was literally how every situation was solved with Animaniacs. Like, we have a problem with this. Back to Steven Spielberg. Steven Spielberg comes back. It's cool.
Okay.
I love how we have Dark Knight Rises in the background of this. That is just fairly glorious.
And you can actually hear it now? I didn't know if you could hear it.
Yeah, I've been able to hear it off and on here. It's been pretty funny.
Nobody's going to complain about Batman.
We're not play any. I like
No, them. That's what I'm saying. I've heard it for a while. I'm not going to complain about
People
that.
People of Gotham have come to liberate you.
That's so, nice. Batman's still a better lay.
Well, I mean, Bane would be all types of weird with the mask on and... moving on.
I would not want... Bane's dirty talk would be so bad.
John Cena, while you lay there, hopefully as uncomfortable as you could possibly be, I want you to listen to me. I want you to digest this, because before I leave in 3 weeks with your WWE Championship, I have a lot of things I want to get off my chest. I am the best in the world.
Oh, God. Oh, my.
I fulfilled my duty. I'm fine now. Talk about whatever the fuck you want. I've done my thing.
I don't even know where to go from here.
I really don't. There's other people in it. You know, I'm kind of like, the fuck?
Oh, here's one, and this is kind. There was a band, and then there's a one-off gag as well. But Scrubs, they had the Nobodies, which was Ted's band, his occupier group.
Oh yeah,
they're an actual band.
Yeah,
they're called the Blanks, I think.
Yeah, I think they were the Nobodies on the show, and the actual band is the Blanks.
In reality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they evolved. I think they started off doing what they did. Covers of cartoon theme songs, and that evolved. Then they did. I know they did "Baby Back Rib" because Dr. Cox used that to torture somebody.
I want my baby back, baby back, baby back, baby back. Do they say anything else? No.
No, they never say.
They never say anything else.
And one of my favorite one-off gags with the show and any type of musical thing is the air band that Turk is in, and they do "Poison."
That was awesome. That, and there's also a personal, like, it's not a fictional band, but it's music related, and I kind of like, there's a great gag of, in the Scrubs that's all over YouTube, at the My Overkill episode, of when they have Colin Hay pop up singing acoustic Overkill, the acoustic style of Overkill, like, throughout the entire episode.
And oh, yeah.
Like, one of the greatest. Like, one of my favorite things about the entire series. It's how I actually got into listening to Colin Hay, honestly, was when I first saw the episode and went, wow, I like how Overkill sounds in acoustic. I wonder what else he's done. Led to me owning about 6 CDs within about a week.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I hope that's why TV shows continue to use licensed music, as it helps. Well, I assume that's why people continue to license them as TV shows. It helps gain exposure, because a lot of shows, like, especially the CW, usually at the final commercial break, music from this episode provided by...
Yeah, they did that for last week's Arrow, actually, when they just put in, and the music for this episode has been da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah, Arrow's weird. I like Arrow, but yesterday they had that weird, like, they cut off in the middle of a conversation for a commercial break, and they come back, and the commercial has, like, it was actually cut off, and, like, you see the end of the scene, and then it goes back to commercial break.
Oh, yeah, so. that was weird.
So, yeah. There's that. But yeah, any other fictional bands, moments, and things you folks want to talk about before we begin to wrap and just not go off on random insanity?
He goes, "Ain't my baby."
There was that. It was funny. I ended up stumbling upon the band from Music and Lyrics, the Blit Pop from that movie. And by the way, yes, I might get some flack for this, but that is actually a fairly enjoyable film. And Hugh Grant sings all of his freaking songs in that movie, and that freaking intro music video to Music and Lyrics is actually, it's just so perfectly 80s. It is so beautiful. Of the whole "Pop Goes My Heart," the whole, it is so cheesy, but it is so perfect. And yes, I know, it's a fun film if you haven't seen it. I like it. Surprisingly, actually really fun.
Especially if sound like me when I'm trying to defend Love Actually to people. You're like, "You like that movie? Shut up! The movie's awesome."
Oh, I like Love Actually.
Love Actually.
Love Actually is really good.
Yeah, there like people are like, you like that? It's like, you've never seen it. Shut up.
I don't know.
Bill Nye's in it. He's awesome. He's surrounded by women in low-cut tops and Santa outfits, and he's great.
Like, music and lyrics is one of the movies for me that it's like the people who have ever seen it, they go, yeah, it's actually a really fun movie. And no one else, and people who have ever seen it are like, the heck? I'm like, it's a good film. Watch it at least once. It's a really fun movie. And Hugh Grant's actually a really damn good singer.
But I do want to talk about Dingoes Ate My Baby.
Okay.
Which, if people don't know, that is the band from Buffy the Vampire Slayer. When Seth Green was on the series for several seasons, his character, Oz, was the bassist in the band. And there's this whole thing about, you know, we're going to a Dingoes gig. And they were actually, their music was produced by a band called Four Star Mary, who are pretty good. The point is Seth Green was in a pretend band on Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Mm-hmm.
Called Dingoes Ate My Baby.
What's funny is that band's listed on this list, and if you click on the link, it doesn't lead you to anything about Buffy or that band. It takes you to Death of Azaria Chamberlain.
What?
Who was an Australian baby girl who was killed by a dingo on the night of 17th August, 1980.
That's...
So it was truly, it takes you to a page about a dingo who ate a baby.
Wow, that's an actual thing.
Damn.
I don't really want to expound upon it, but I do want to mention Otto Bond from The Big Lebowski. Just because they're awesome.
So. And I figured, going into our theme for the last 2 or 3 weeks or so, that we should end on, even though it's not technically fictional, these are kind of over-the-top characters, bands, performers from the WWE or the world of entertainment, sports entertainment.
A three-man band,
which is the most recent one.
Three-man band, baby!
There is Three Count, WCW's version of the boy band.
Oh, God.
Shane Helms. Shannon Moore?
Yeah, Shannon Moore was in that, and I think...
And I can never remember who the third guy was.
Wasn't it Evan Courageous who was the third guy in that insanity?
It might have been Evan Courageous.
Because it's like, it is so funny, the score, they actually talk about Three Count, like, the hell? Yep, it was Evan Courageous, and Tank Abbott was an honorary member of the band, too, for some odd reason.
Yeah, he was kind of like their groupie.
Yeah, he was their groupie. Yes, how do we turn one of the toughest people in the world to a groupie of a boy band? WCW, everyone.
Well, to be fair, it's not like he could wrestle, so they had to do something with him.
Like, we can't wrestle. He can be a groupie for the boy band.
Yeah, it's not to say WWE turned the world's strongest man into an OJW, so...
Ah!
So there you go. There was also Double J and the real Double J.
Oh, God, yes.
Yes. J-E-double-F. J-E-double-R. E-double-T. That's Double J. Jeff Jarrett.
I loved how anytime they put out an action figure of him, they had the censor, the don't piss me off catchphrase.
Yes.
And I think there was one that was one of the action figures that was sold where the guitar or the shirt had don't pop me one written on it.
Oh, selling toys in the Attitude Era was such a fascinating period for the WWE.
Did you know that the Attitude Era was the greatest era of all time and will never top it again? Because we have to keep on reminding you with DVDs and video games that the Attitude Era was awesome and the current stuff we sell you is crap.
Oh, it was awesome. It was very glorious. Just the toy, I can imagine the poor toy people going, how the hell do we sell a toy based off this?
Well, and then it didn't help that when they were trying to sell the Al Snow doll, someone was like, he carries a severed woman's head. And you're like, no, it's a mannequin head he talks to. And it talks back.
What a coincidence that we're talking about this, since you can go to nerdsontherocks.com and read my review of the WWE The Attitude Era DVD. Why don't you go click on it right now and read a little bit about what I had to say? It's fun. You should go do it. Okay, bye.
A huge positive. A huge positive about the Attitude Era.
Wow. Even
I was going to say, the the big positive is they no longer have to blur out the WWF logo always when they say it, which is really important during this era, because then that entire thing would be like a blurry screen.
Mm-hmm. Like, they made some, haven't they just made a deal with the World Wildlife Foundation to just go, yeah, like you can.
But they still can't use it going forward, but they can, anything that they've done with it before is retroactively okay.
Like, it's fine.
Yeah, because it used to get annoying, because you take, the World Wrestling Federation, they could say World Wrestling Federation, but anytime they said WWF Champion, it'd be like,
I'm the champion. WWF Champion.
Yeah. Which they always said, because saying World Wrestling Federation in a promo is really odd.
A lot.
Well, what other band should they have? Oh, well, Chris Jericho, but that's an actual band.
Yeah, Fozzy is an actual band.
Yeah, I love Fozzy's whole thing when they started, where they're like, no, we wrote these big rock hits for years, and other bands covered them and got more famous than we did.
Yeah,
the band had a gimmick, which is awesome.
The West Texas Rednecks.
Oh God, the West Texas Rednecks. Or how we decide, hey, you know, we'll do this group against this Master P is supposed to be the faces in our angle, and then we'll have them to face the West Texas Rednecks, supposed to be the heel. And we do it in the South.
at a biker pay-per-view.
It's like, who's the people going to cheer for more? The rappers or the country band? In the South.
As they say, WCW.
It's like, you did not think this through, did you?
That can be said for a lot of the decisions.
Yeah, it's true.
What else is there? I mean, we already spent our time talking about the WWE for wrestlers actually doing their own album twice.
Oh, God.
They're actually real people, so they don't count for this.
Yeah. And we don't need to bring...
Cena is a real person.
No, he's a totally real person. He's just a robot. He's a robot designed only for violence and bad kissing.
Okay.
Oh, Lord. Of course, I'll do one quick little thing of one of the oddball little bands of Chuck, Jester. Jester's awesome.
They performed at his sister's wedding.
there's a wrestling band we forgot.
Go for it.
We forgot the brief musical career of Jillian Hall.
Oh, God, Jillian
Which
Hall.
Which was a character designed entirely to mock Brooke Hogan.
Hey, I'm going to punch up my John Cena joke from earlier. He's a MoDOT, a mobile organism designed only for terribleness.
So you were sitting there when we talked about Jillian Hall coming up with that. And I guess the final one we missed from wrestling, I think the biggest or the real first big breakout one was the Honky Tonk Man.
I got Bruce Wayne's shirt and long.
Okay, I think that's it for us this week. Unless you folks have anything else to add.
Okay. Stars, yeah, the stars. One shining star in the night, shining brighter than all the other ones. And I'm talking light years away, yeah. Macho Madness, yeah. Macho Madness folded.
Oh, God.
More questions!
We have gone full circle.
We have the circle of life. But, But yes, we will be back next week. At this point, our Star Trek episode is just going to be the Matt Damon of this show.
It's going to happen eventually.
It's going to happen, but we're just going to say it's next week, and it's not going to happen next week. At this point,
before the next movie comes out.
I was going to say, we might as well save it until the next movie comes out at this point. It's only a couple of months. We'll see. Well, we'll be back next week with something. And hopefully we'll have Anthony back. We haven't had him on, like, 2 months.
Poor Anthony. It's like, every time we're recording, it's like, crap, too late for Anthony.
Well, he needs to stop sleeping, obviously.
Yeah. Damn him his 5-hour time gap. But yes, for Ashy, Wesley, Nikias, and myself, this has been Nerds on the Rocks episode 115.
Yeah! Good. You should dig it. Yes, you should, my friend.
When the aliens come, when the death rays hum, when the bombers bomb, we'll still be freaking friends. When the whip comes down, when they nuke the town, when dead clouds can't clown, we'll still be freaking friends. Freaking friends, freaking friends, till we come to bad ends, we're freaking friends. Freaking friends, freaking friends, till we come to bad ends, we're freaking friends. When the skeeter bites, lightning hits our kites, when we miss our flights, we'll still be freaking friends. When my number's called, when my garden's walled, when my tires are bald, we'll still be freaking friends. Freaking friends, freaking friends, till we come to bad ends, we're freaking friends. Freaking friends, freaking friends, till we come to bad ends, we're freaking friends. I was halfway down the plank, had a stick against my flag, then you pulled up in the tank. Rock on. When we're parched with drought, and we can't catch trout, when my voice gives out, we'll still be freaking friends. When the razor cuts, when they torch the huts, when I hate your guts, we'll still be freaking friends. Freaking friends, freaking friends, till we come to bad ends, we're freaking friends. Freaking friends, freaking friends, till we come to bad ends, we're freaking friends. Freaking friends, freaking friends, till we come to bad ends, we're freaking friends. Freaking friends, freaking friends, till we come to bad ends.